Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. I am really excited about this. You probably won't be as excited as I am, but I've had some real fun, and I think making it practical and understandable for you, and I think it'll be very instructive for you tonight. And if you write notes in your Bible, get your pen ready. You're going to write a lot tonight, I promise you, or grab a piece of paper. I don't often say take notes, but I'm going to cover some things that are, I think, that will help you in many, 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 many ways tonight. Let's start reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault, notice that word assault, when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. There they preached the gospel. And there sat certain men at Lystra impotent, a certain man at Lystra impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly, beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to believe, be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. I love that. He didn't stand, he jumped. Amen. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifices with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We are also men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all the things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from the heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." Now, look at me, if you will. Let me catch you up. As we stated last week, Paul spends the entirety of his ministry in the countries of Turkey, Greece, Italy, Syria, in Israel. He covered an area roughly the size of the United States of America. And by the way, that was not unusual in those days. I said this before, I'll say it again. People in Bible days were not one step from cave people. They knew how to go from country to country. They could get letters from one country to another. They could travel from continent to continent. They knew how to sail and go one direction and come back. They knew how to take roads and get from one place to another and back. They understood all those things. It was not much different than today, though they used horses maybe and camels instead of cars. They still had the ability to do that. Now, it was all, you have to understand, the Roman Empire went from about where Spain and Portugal are over to about where the east side of India and the northern part of Africa and everywhere in between. It was the same as the Greek Empire. Matter of fact, the Romans conquered the Greeks for the empire in 27 BC, like we stated last week, just prior to, by the way, at this point in time, the Roman Empire was still speaking Greek. The world, that part of the world, all spoke the Greek language, much like much of the world today speaks the English language. North America virtually everything, including much of Mexico, even speaks some English, the bigger cities at least. Now, I say that to say this, the Latin or the Italian didn't come about till the 200s AD. When somebody tells you that the Bible came from Latin, they're Catholic and they're wrong. It's corrupt.
That's right.
Now, I say that, well, we believe in the Latin. Well, the Latin was after the Greek, and the New Testament and the Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew. Now, listen to me very carefully here. This is what I want you to get. Now, everybody look at me. Do me a favor. Don't open the maps in your Bible in the back yet. All right? Let me explain to you. When you go home, you can look these things up. Saul, or Paul, was from a city. Anybody know what the city was that Paul was born in? Saul of
Tarsus.
Anybody want to guess where Tarsus is? No. It's in Turkey. It is about 100 miles northwest of Antioch. So it's about like from here to Harrisburg, or thereabouts, from Antioch. Paul was from Turkey. Now, the Turks have always been a rough group of people. They have been always a very brutal, rough, hard people. You would know it as the Ottoman Empire, Asia Minor. Those are all names for Turkey. To this day, Turkey is a very rugged group of people. They're now mostly Muslim, but they are very rough, rugged people. Now, amen, Brother Greg. He's been there. He knows what I'm talking about. The Turks are not nice people. They're very, very difficult. They're pretty hard-headed, stubborn, and pretty independent. No wonder the Apostle Paul spoke so harshly. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Do you know that most of the Apostle Paul's ministry was to his own country? He was from Turkey, Tarsus. He spent most of his time in his own country. Everybody think with me for a second here. How many of you know somebody in America that's Jewish? Raise your hand. All right? That's about 85% of the people in this room. Does that mean that they live in Israel? Guess what? There were Jews all around the earth at the same time of the Roman Empire and time of the Bible. There were Jews all over the earth. They weren't just located in Israel. Too many times we think of the Jews only being in Israel. God scattered them. They scattered themselves because they got away from the truth. They held on to the traditions and rejected Jesus and scattered abroad. Now, watch this. That means this. There are, let me give you some city names in the land of Turkey in the time of the Apostle Paul. Smyrna, Thyatira, Sardis, Ephesus, Miletus, Laodicea, Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, Galatia, Pamphylia, Lycaonia, Cappadocia. Recognize any of those names? The book of Ephesians, Galatians. Much of the book of Revelation centers on seven of those cities, the seven churches. Those churches were real churches in real cities all over the country of Turkey. Now, everybody look at me for just a second here. Paul was definitely more of an evangelist than a missionary. He was working in his own country. He was being used by God to try to reach his home area. I'm going to make a few rough statements here. Much of the rest of the New Testament was never even penned in Israel. It wasn't even penned necessarily to the Jews in Israel. For somebody to tell you that the Bible was written for the Jews, it's a lie. Because the Apostle Paul, from the book of Romans on, Romans, Corinth, Galatia, Ephesia, Ephesus, all these other places, Thessalonica was in Greece. Many of these books that God used the Apostle Paul to write were sent to churches in Turkey or Greece. It wasn't sent to Israel. I said this before, the Jews have this elitist mentality. We would call it a clique. That's what they are. And God broke the clique up by saying, upon this rock I'll build my church. The church broke up the Hebrew or Jewish clique. And it was the clique that crucified Jesus. Now, hang in there. Again, Christianity was never intended to be a Jewish thing. It was to be a human thing. It was for all races, all colors, all sizes of people. God wanted the gospel and Christianity all around the world. By the way, the world, not just that part of the world, the entire world was populated at this time. Did you know in 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue and came to America, there were people here? Shazam. There were many people here from coast to coast. Did you know there were people in Central America and South America at the same time? He landed in Cuba and found people there. Everybody doing all right? There have been people around the globe since the time shortly thereafter Noah. You have to understand something. God gave man the know-how how to get around the earth at all times necessary. Now, let me get back to Acts chapter 14. While Paul and Barnabas are in Iconium, which is in Turkey, many Jews and many Greeks get saved. We read that at the very beginning of chapter 14. But this makes the old, staunch, Jewish, religious people a little mad. Notice verse number 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. These old religious Jews said, we got to do something to stop this, or it's going to put a hurting on the synagogue. It's going to put a hurting on the temple. So we're going to have to do something. So they started turning the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. And the Bible uses the word evil. That doesn't necessarily mean, and you have to understand something. Evil means this, two or more people going together to destroy someone else. It's not necessarily evil being witchcraft. Gossip is evil. Amen. Telling bad truth about somebody to somebody else to hurt somebody else's reputation is evil. You see, they were trying to stir up all the trouble and opposition they could. But there's something I want you to understand. The greater the success, the greater the opposition. That's a statement you ought to live by. The greater the success, the greater the opposition. Did you know that something that succeeds is going to draw attention? It's going to draw opposition. Case in point, our last president, President Trump. I don't think he was God. Matter of fact, I know he wasn't. But it will tell you this, he's a success.
That's right.
He was successful as a businessman. He was successful as a president.
Yep.
Now, wait a minute. Why do you think he drew so much opposition? He drew so much opposition because of his success. And those who opposed him hated him violently. Isn't it amazing the attacks and things they said about President Trump that they're now doing? You know your enemy by how they attack you.
Amen.
Now, that principle applies in every area of your life. Some of you are newer Christians. Did you know as you grow in the Lord, your unsaved family will oppose you? Why? Because as you start succeeding spiritually, you'll be attacked. It's normal. It just comes with it. But success will bring opposition. Now, the greater the success, the greater the opposition. Please don't take this in the most normal people would take this. But many of you will not face the opposition that Brother Josh or myself would face because we live this life. This is 24/7, 365 and a quarter every year. And because of that, we're going to draw a little bit more fire than the average Christian would. That's okay. God made us with thick skin and a thick head. We can take it.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. It doesn't mean that we like it any more than you like it. That means this. The farther you move up in your Christian life and the more successful you become in your Christian life, you better get ready for more and more opposition. May I get Grace Baptist Church ready for something? Our church is successful. Our church is moving. Our church is growing. We're going to face opposition. Get ready. Somebody's going to say something nasty. Somebody's going to print something. Somebody's not going to like you. Did you know not everybody likes me? I know that's hard to believe. It's just so hard to understand. But guess what? It's coming. Get ready for it. You say, why? Because you can't succeed without opposition. It's going to come. Now, let me help you with this. I call this, the religious crowd is not happy. Number one, the religious world gets evil against the gospel and a biblical church. Number one, the religious world gets evil against the gospel and a biblical church. We read verses 2 through 7, how that they were bringing an assault. Now, look at me for a second here. Religious people will stir up non-Christians to go against the church and the gospel. Brother Josh, you've seen this a lot too. Soul winning makes religious people mad. I've knocked on doors and somebody say, "You that hard up that you got to come knock on doors?" I said, "Well, do you go to church?" "Nope, that's why I'm knocking on your door." Those kind of people don't bother me. But there are people out there, "Well, I go to church." "Well, didn't know that till I talked to you." "I'm not going to go back and publish. Do you want me to go back and publish your address and tell everybody not to come to your church? Come to your door?" I said, "You really think I ought to publish your address?" "Oh. Well, just don't come here if you..." Well, I'll do my best, but my people are kind of like me. They don't listen very well. So next week I'll send somebody else down the road. Amen? I'll send my wife there 3 weeks in a row and get the police called on me. Now, wait a minute. You'd be surprised. Now, wait a minute. Religious people will do everything they can to stir it up. By the way, so-called Christians that are religious. During COVID, we were knocking on doors. Man, you ought to have got some of the phone calls I got. Or voicemails. Whew. I learned words I didn't know before. I'm not kidding. Man, I got called a murderer. I got called everything. Well, you say, "What'd you do, preacher?" I laughed about it. I had one lady call me a murderer. I was killing people by us knocking on doors. And I let her run her mouth for a couple minutes. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I appreciate you. I said, I know you have everybody's health at stake, but let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? Well, that's not a question for you to know. I said, well, see, you're only concerned about now. I'm concerned about eternity. I guess I care more than you do. She hung up on me, and she didn't call me back, and I didn't care. You say, why? I nailed her hide to the wall. She could not respond to that. She's only concerned about this old carcass of flesh. Well, guess what? It's going to die someday. Amen. She got herself in a knot, but I pulled the knot and twisted it a few times. Amen? Religion wants their tradition to preserve more than they want the truth to be taught. Churches are more concerned about their traditions than they are the truth. Churches are more concerned about their ceremonies than they are eternity. Churches are more concerned about how everybody's feeling than how they're going to feel when they die. See, it's not about our emotions. It's not about our traditions. Okay, we're moving a church service when Brother Few gets here from Wednesday night to Tuesday night. Because I feel like many of you travel so much for your work and things that I'm trying to be good and get you your time back so that you can use it rightly. There's nothing in the Bible that says I have to do that. There's nothing in the Bible that says I can't do that either. But I'm not going to start canceling, okay, but we're having Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning church, and Sunday night church on Christmas and New Year's. And any church that closes church down or shuts their services down because Christmas is on Sunday ought to not reopen. Go ahead and publish that in the newspaper once. Now, wait a minute. Please don't do that, though. Please. It's one thing to get in a fight. It's another thing to start it, and I don't plan on starting it. But wait a minute. I think it's wrong for us to celebrate the birth of Christ and uninvite the birthday boy to the celebration. How'd you like us to have a birthday party for you and not invite you, and we take all the gifts? Isn't that what we do to Christ? May I help parents and grandparents? Get your family in church on Christmas Sunday. Get them up early to open gifts, or tell them they got to wait till after church. You know, the whole world could go to the booger man before I'll cut church for Christmas. It might just be my wife and I here, but I'm going to preach. Amen. I'll let her have it too. I mean, she'll probably end up preaching to me. Wait a minute. Religion wants their traditions preserved. That's why they got to do the same thing. Over and over and always, doesn't this invoke holiness? Gag. They actually got physically violent, not just verbally. Look at verse number 5. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers. The word assault there means violent beating. It doesn't mean that they walked by and smacked somebody. They got into a knockdown, drag-out fight. The word assault means a violent beating. And I want you to notice, it was made of more than one person. It was made of the Jews and the Gentiles, those who got saved. They started beating up people who got saved. And you thought it was tough when somebody made fun of you for going to church. Matter of fact, the Bible says, watch this, and also the Jews with the rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. That doesn't mean like your days as a teenager and college student when you were out drinking. The word stone there means they picked up rocks and heaved them at people and bashed their brains out and beat them with stones till they were dead. That word stoned literally means they threw rocks at them till they actually killed them by beating them with rocks. That's not a fun way to go. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. There's been more bloodshed and violence by religion than all wars put together. Man, with religion, tries to force everyone into their traditions and beliefs. The Catholic Church has killed more people in the name of religion than all wars put together. By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Martin Luther killed more Christians than the popes did. Martin Luther hated Christianity and Baptists. He wanted to be his own pope, so he started his own religion. You have to understand something. We haven't suffered yet. Humanism is a religion. Humanism is man being his own God. Humanism, this is the idiocy of our public education. Oh, separation of church and state, but humanism is a religion. We are religiously training children. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. When you send your children to public education, they're getting a religious education too in humanism. Just going to tell you the truth. The media is humanism. Government, in many ways, is humanism. Let's spend billions and billions of dollars on squirrels and owls and birds and the study on cow farts and cow burps and how it affects the climate. Can I tell you something? A cow can... They want to tax the exhaust out of a cow. They want to tax... There's California's right now... Scandinavian country is right now trying to figure a way to tax cows on their burping because it's putting too much poisonous gases in the air. Then they want to tax the milk. They want to tax the meat. They tax the feed. And they tax the farmer who has the land. Isn't it amazing how much money they make from one cow? You see, it's become humanism. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. I've got to hurry. Number two, the Lycaonians. Verses 6 through 18, we read this. Paul and Barnabas go throughout Lycaonia preaching, and many are getting saved. While Paul is there, he sees a man that was lame from his mother's womb. In other words, he was crippled. He could not walk. Now watch this. Paul sees him, sees the man's sincere faith, and says, "Look, man, get up and walk." The Bible says that the man, leaping, stood up and ran. Say, why did God allow that, preacher? Was that a miraculous healing? It was, so that Paul and Barnabas could get the hearing of the people so more people would hear the gospel. Here's the problem. Everybody okay? The Lycaonians think Paul and Barnabas, because of this healing, are gods. Look at verse 12. "And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter," notice something, that's a religious entity, correct? "Which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gate and would have done sacrifice with the people." In other words, the high priest of the temple of Jupiter was bringing sacrifices, and they were going to make sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas as being a god. Now, everybody look at me for a second. This is the influence of Greek mythology on the people. Greek mythology is all about false gods, Zeus and all these others, Jupiter, Mercurius. They were the gods of the stars, astrology. All of that is false god worship. I don't think you ought to read your horoscope and what's your sign. Don't know. Don't have a sign. Well, when was you born? None of your business, all right? None of those things have any bearing on it. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. Greek mythology still plays a big role in false religion today. A lot of your Disney characters, a lot of your video games, a lot of your Marvel comics are all based off of Greek mythological gods. Where do you think they get their powers? It's a dangerous thing. We say, well, it's just a game, preacher. Okay, let me throw a Ouija board down and watch you play. Well, no, that's bad. What's the difference between that and some of these things that get their powers from Satan in false gods? Just because you enjoy one and not the other doesn't make it right. That's humanism. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. If you look at many of the Disney characters and powerful creatures and different things, much of it comes from Greek mythology. I'm not on a tirade against Disney right now. If you have Disney things, that's fine. I'm not going to come to your house and call you a dirty, filthy, wicked, rotten person, but I will tell you this, a lot of it comes from Greek mythology. Paul and Barnabas shut this, them coming to worship them as gods, they shut it down fast. They run into the crowd and say, hey, look, we're people just like you. We're they didn't say normal because they weren't normal, neither were the people. But he said, look, we're just human beings just like you are. We have a great message and we have a great God. He wants you to listen to the truth. God allowed us to do this so that you'd listen to us and give you the gospel so you'd get saved and know the true and only living God. And a lot of these people start getting saved. Now, I want to show you two more things and we'll go to the house here. Next, verse number 19. I think this is, in my opinion, one of the funniest stories in the whole Bible. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Now look at me. Do you remember Iconium in verse number 1 is where they were trying to kill the apostles, seeking to stone them? And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. They got these people so worked up that people began to stone Paul and they bashed him so hard that they thought he was dead. Drug his body outside the city and left him outside the gates of the city as though he was dead. Look at verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch. Now, everybody watch this for a second. Here they bashed Paul's brains out just about, beat him with stones to where they thought he was dead, drag his body out. The disciples are standing around trying to figure out what to do, and all of a sudden, he leans up and says, what you looking at, fellas? Help me get up here. And the Bible says the next day, he goes with Barnabas to Derbe, and they begin to preach. That's just down the road a piece. Be like going from here to Charlestown. And they go to Derbe to preach, and they preach, and many, many, many people get saved. Paul gets stronger and stronger. Then I want you to notice what happens. Look at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, and they returned again to Lystra. Lystra is where he was at when he got stoned. And to Iconium and to Antioch. Those are the two cities, verse number 19. There came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. The very people who stoned him and had people get him stoned, he went back and preached in their town. Doesn't sound like Paul was running and hiding with his head in the sand, afraid of what they might do to him, does it? Now, this is where we're going to separate some folks. Isn't it amazing how Christians, the moment we face persecution, we want to run and hide. We want to back off. No. You need to press forward. Can I tell you something? When the attack comes, pick your chin up, throw your shoulders back, suck in a big suck of air, and keep moving forward. Amen. Well, preacher, it might hurt. Don't you think the Apostle Paul didn't feel very good after getting stoned? They left him for dead. Bible says he got up and the next day left and went preaching. I'm sure he was bloody. I'm sure he was bruised. He probably had some broken ribs and some broken bones in his body. Can you imagine this guy that looks like he got in a rock grenade standing to preach and a whole bunch of people getting saved? Imagine he started feeling pretty good, didn't he, Brother Josh? Man, I can feel horrible, get up and preach, and I feel real good. Say why? When I see God work, God the Holy Spirit moves in, and there's some energy there that's not human. And God gives you the strength you need. Here's what happens. We try to do it in our own power. That's why we want to run and hide. Isn't that what Adam and Eve did because of their sin? We're the righteous. We're to be pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Can I tell you something? When you get attacked, keep on going. Amen. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego didn't run and hide. Moses didn't hide. Abraham didn't hide. King David did not hide. The greatest people in Scripture are the ones that stood. By the way, you had apostles who ran and hid for a while, but then they got the courage back and they came back full strength. Now, Paul came back preaching where they tried to kill him. I got to tell this story, true story. Mrs. Lopez, you were there. You know this is a true story. I told part of it just a week or so ago about we were having these big open air meetings about probably 30 years ago, 35 years ago now. Big day. It was that black church happened to be. We had this big meeting and they all came and the pastor's wife got saved. I didn't tell you the rest of that story. The police came to shut that meeting down. We had about 300 or 400 people there on that lot. Well, we had an escape plan just in case. We had a guy dressed up as a clown that had a pillowcase full of candy and wrapped coins. And we had him positioned on an opposite direction of where our vehicles were. Well, it just happened to be where he was positioned was right near the police car. And when the guy leading the meeting said, throw that bag up in the air and there's hundreds of gifts there, there was about 300 people that crawled all over top of that cop car. Well, he had threatened us to go to jail if we were found in his town again. Happened to be Dixmoor, Illinois. We got ready for the next meeting. Big old PA system set up on the back of the truck. We got stuff to give away. We've been visiting. And got up and said, welcome to Harvey, Illinois. They said, Harvey, this is Dixmoor. Say what? We were in the same town. This is not a good thing. Say, what'd you do? Shut the PA off. We turned the PA off. We preached the gospel, got rid of stuff as fast as we could, and got out of Dodge. We didn't leave right then, because that would not have been good either. But we did get out. The very next town we were in. We were in Harvey. It was my turn to kind of be overseeing some things. Man, we got hundreds of people walking the streets, come into this meeting, and all of a sudden, here comes the lights flashing. And the guy that was leading it looked at me and said, "I didn't do so well last time, your turn." I went down, talked to the police. They said, "What you doing?" I said, "We're having a church meeting, trying to get everybody here saved, try to clean this place up so that you don't have as much crime." He said, "Well, you're off the sidewalks. That's fine." He said, "Need help?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "We'll block the street off for you." He said, "I'll call some cruisers, tell them to make church meetings down here and get them come." Police cruisers are going up and down the street telling everybody to go down here. I jumped back up on, he said, "What'd they say?" I said, "He's helping us gather a crowd and shutting the street down for us." He said, "How come you didn't talk last time?" I said, "You didn't ask." I said, "You got us thrown in jail. I got the streets blocked off. Your turn." Nah. And we had several hundred people saved that day in that one meeting. I didn't go back to Dixmoor anymore after that. You say, what do? When you're attacked, you better keep going forward. Too many of us want to run and hide. Our family says something, so we just, like a little rabbit, we want to just shut up and not say anything. Guess what? I'd rather somebody get offended and hear the truth than love me and die and go to hell without the truth. I love my family, but if they're going to hear me preach, they're going to hear the truth. I'm not backing off for anybody. Never have, never will. Told a preacher this week, I'd make a horrible liberal. I'm too opinionated, too thick-headed, and I'm too founded on principle to be a liberal. I couldn't be a liberal if I wanted to. Couldn't put up with them. You see, all of that brings something, though. Great growth began to take place. Look at verse number 27. I'm sorry, verse number 22. Confirming the souls, the disciples exhorting them to continue in the faith, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. When they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting and commanded the Lord on whom they believed, and after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. By the way, that's an island out off of where Cyprus is right now. When they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they recommended the grace of God for the work they fulfilled. Now look at me. The word elder there means pastor. It wasn't an elder of the church like a deacon would be. There's three titles given to pastor in the scripture: pastor, bishop, and elder. Pastor meaning shepherd, elder meaning someone with wisdom and counselor, and the bishop meaning someone who's able to run the business portion of things. It's all one person. I'm supposed to be the counselor. I'm supposed to be the shepherd that preaches, but I'm also supposed to be able to run the business. There's three parts of my title: pastor, bishop, and elder. Not necessarily age. Nah, 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 nah. Now, I've got 1 minute. Let me finish. Look at verse 27. When they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. Paul goes back to Jerusalem to give a report. Remember, the gospel and Christianity was not just for the Jew. It's not a Jewish thing. The Jews and modern religion want us to think so. Paul was a Jew trained by the Sanhedrin, but he's from Turkey. Very likely, the Apostle Paul, while he was part of the Sanhedrin, he possibly could have even taken place in the judgment for the crucifixion of Christ. He was of that level. You have to understand something. He was born and raised in Tarsus, but he was part of the Jewish synagogue and hierarchy in the Sanhedrin level of leadership in the Jewish synagogues, but doesn't say he was in Jerusalem all the time. He wasn't living in Israel necessarily. He was not a foreign missionary. He spent most of his time in his homeland reaching his own people. Isn't it amazing how that we read city names and we go by it and don't even understand what God's telling us? Look at the back of your Bible, not now, when you get home. And look at that area of Asia Minor in Turkey. And look at all the cities in there that you read. And go back to Acts 14 and see, you know, many of your Bibles will have the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. And you'll see Turkey and Greece and Italy and all the islands there, Cyprus and Crete. But know that most of that area is Turkey. Very little of it is anything else. And he was born there. That was his home country. The Bible is so rich. We pass by it so much. Remember, when attacked, keep going forward. Don't give up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The greater the success, the greater the opposition. When attacked, keep going forward. Don't miss out on it.